Have you thought about what your days might look like when you finish homeschooling? As my daughter was progressing through high school, I started thinking about what the empty nest years might look like. And I'll be honest and say that I'm looking forward to them. It is no secret around our house. I will miss my daughter's daily presence, but there's also a lot that I'm looking forward to about them both graduating and moving out. It will mean independence and a little more freedom for all of us. We've graduated one daughter, and the other one is finishing up high school. We're not fully empty nesting yet, but we have changed our family dynamics from a family of four to having an only child most of the week. She's a busy little bee with activities and friends, and as we've moved into this stage, I've had thoughts about what the days would look like and how things would be as they both move out. I was wrong about several of them. And in this episode, I want to share three myths that I believed about launching my children after homeschooling so that you can have some realistic expectations of what's ahead. The first myth that I believed was that I would have more of free time. I thought that I would have this free time because they did not need me directly involved in their schoolwork. I still need time to exercise and make time for my self-care. My energy levels are different than they were when I was younger just because of my age, of some health issues, and it just looks different. I also need to be available to help with other needs, such as when they need to fill out applications or just learning to live life on their own and do things that they've not done before. My daughter calls with questions. She might say, hey, can you give me some advice? And it's different than it was, but it's not really that I have all this more time. And I took on some responsibilities that have filled some of my additional free time. That has left less time to read. It feels hectic at times, and I have to continue to reassess. As I mentioned in the previous episode, you might need to take a break before you commit to new responsibilities. My sabbatical year was so helpful as I discerned my next steps, and it helped me make some intentional choices about how I'm spending my time. And I still have to go back and reassess what I'm doing and where I'm investing my time, because as I'm experiencing life in this new stage, I'm realizing I need to have actually more flexibility with my time than I thought I did, just so that I can be available to my daughters when they do need me, so that I can pursue my dreams and my interests. I'm slowly figuring it out, but just like whenever we were in the midst of homeschooling both of them full time, I still have to reassess and look at what's happening and make some changes. If it helps, you might want to have a standard rule or reply when you want to jump into a new commitment or someone asks you to help, such as, I'm sorry that I can't take that on right now. I'm taking some time to consider my options and acclimate to this new season of life. I wish I had done this more with myself. It's not even so much people asking me to do things. I had gotten pretty good at telling people I need to think about that first. It's more what I wanted to take on. Things that I felt passionate about or that I thought would be really interesting, I would like to have taken a slower approach into that. I probably would have made some different choices that would have felt a little less hectic. The second myth, I kind of alluded to this, is that your children will need you less. Recently, I saw my pastor's young daughters playing with his stole after the service, and it looked chaotic and rambunctious and so sweet. And I remember the days that my daughters were that age, and I remembered how it can sometimes feel just so chaotic and so tiring, and you're worried about what other people are thinking. But I went up to him, and I told him, this is a sweet time, and it doesn't really change. It just looks different as they get older. My daughters are teenagers now, and we still have days that feel chaotic and rambunctious and sweet, but they no longer interrupt my conversations or run around the lobby at church. Instead, they want to talk about problems, such as enrolling in classes or emotions or life skills at random times. I might be sitting down to complete one of my college assignments when my college-aged daughter calls and wants to talk because she's walking between her classes. That's the time that we have to connect, so I'm learning to flex my schedule with hers and make sure that I'm getting my stuff done and voicing when I need to have those boundaries and say, hey, if you just need to chat, we need to chat later. I've got something I have to get done. Or it might look like my high school-aged daughter coming into my office for help right as I'm about to start brainstorming podcast episodes because she needs advice about an upcoming event. Your children still need you. They will still cause disruption. It just looks different. So I'm learning to embrace the unplanned calls and cherish any moment they can spend with us, but I do have to set those boundaries. I might ask if we can talk later if I have a looming deadline. I might need to ask them to help me finish cleaning up the kitchen while we talk. It's okay to set boundaries with your children. My college-aged daughter looks at my calendar before calling to make sure that I'm not in a meeting. And because she respects this boundary, I try to take her calls when she is available. But there are still some times that I need to tell her we'll have to talk later unless this is something urgent. The third myth is that life will be simpler. Just because your children start driving themselves places and getting more involved in their own activities does not necessarily mean that your life will be simpler. It's true that you might not have as much on your calendar, but as a manager of your home, you now have a lot more moving pieces. And the more moving pieces, the more likely something is to break. Trying to plan dinner together as my daughters have become more involved in evening activities has become increasingly difficult. And now that one daughter is at college, we have to coordinate weekend schedules. And it's even more difficult if they forget to add events to their calendar. So if you're more spontaneous, this may not be an issue for you. But I am a planner. Planning helps me to reduce my anxiety because I know what to expect. I know what's coming up. But I've had to let go of some of this planning. And when I do plan, I know that it might change last minute. I'm learning to embrace a little more spontaneity. A little. It's still hard. You might also need to shift your focus from making plans that include all of your children to embracing planning for only who's present. I make plans now based on what's on the calendar and what they tell me about. If I have plans to prepare a light meal for my husband and I because it would only be the two of us at home and one girl changed her plans, she might have to fend for herself for dinner. I hope that talking through these myths has been very helpful. I recently read Empty Nest Awakening by Ruthie Gray and really wish I'd read this a few years ago. I did take away some new tips, but mostly was inspired to keep moving forward on this journey and embracing all the changes. I learned much of what she talked about the hard way. This book's a quick read and well worth your time if you're approaching the empty nest years. We'll be talking more about this in future episodes. But until next time, remember that your story is not finished. You may be wrapping up this chapter, but your next chapter is just beginning. Thanks for joining me on the Purposeful Impact podcast. I pray that today's episode blessed you and that you found encouragement and practical tips. If so, would you share this episode with someone else so that they can be blessed too? I'd also appreciate it if you would take 30 seconds and leave a rating and review in your podcast app. Leaving a review helps other homeschool parents find the podcast and know if it's a good fit for them. Thanks so much for helping to spread the word.